Father, we thank you again today for the encouragement of your word. We thank you for the reminders that you give us of just how close you are to us. And I pray that we would leave here today with a greater awareness, maybe than ever before, of just how close you truly are and just how much you desire for us to walk in close fellowship with you. Take now your word and use it today for our instruction and our encouragement. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you're one who likes to fill in the blanks, there are plenty of them today. But if you're one who likes to fill in the blanks and have something to take home, you'll find that in the bulletin. And it'd probably be a good time to get that out and have it ready. Well, here we are about 96 days into the new year. How many remember our appeal at the beginning of the year to pray for 100 days for our community, for the church, and for Cornerstone Christian School, the P100 Prayer Initiative? How many remember that? I'm not going to ask how many are still doing it, but hopefully many of you are. And some of you have said to me, you know, I do pray. In fact, just in the last day or two, I had somebody, I wasn't asking. They said, I want you to know I do pray every day for those things. And they mentioned, I believe, also how that's been a blessing in their lives to do this consistently. And, you know, we're in a relationship with the Lord. That's what it is. When we're born again and we come into the household of faith, then we have a relationship with the Lord. And that relationship, he wants it to be fresh. He wants it to be daily. He wants it to be vibrant. He doesn't want it to be some formality based on some worship cycle where we come on Sunday or we come on Wednesday or we have Easter or we have Christmas. I remember I read a book by autobiography by a preacher one time, and his opening line was, when I was growing up, my family attended church regularly, every Christmas and every Easter. Well, the Lord's glad if you show up for Christmas and Easter, but he is certainly interested in a much closer relationship than that. What would you think of a husband and wife that only saw each other each Christmas and each Easter? And in some cases, that might actually be better, but only because of our fallen sin nature. But no, God's ideal is that we would live with him in close relationship. Now, sin did break relationships. Sin severed our relationship with God, and then it also caused multiple problems. And just remember that. It's sin. Whether that problem is at work with your boss or at home with your spouse or somebody at church or whoever it is, it's because of sin that we have these conflicts. Because God meant for us to live in close community and fellowship and harmony and love, and those are the themes. Those things won't save us, but those things hopefully are the result of us knowing the Lord and walking with him and loving him and loving each other in him. And so his desire is that we would walk close to him. And I just thought at this stage, you know, we're about almost 100 days into the year. A lot of times, whatever we start at the beginning of the year with a certain amount of momentum, by this time is beginning to fizzle, and other things are creeping in, and the life schedules and things are beginning to take over again. So I just thought today a little shot in our arm might be good as a reminder. You know, if we've been able to do it for 90 days or 100 days, why can't we do it for all 365? Amen. So one thing that we struggle with, I think, as believers is periods of time, perhaps for any of us, depending on our stage or our walk. And it isn't just brand new Christians that it happens to, but one thing that we hear as pastors from time to time is, I can't explain it, but right now it just seems like God is so far away. It just seems like when I pray that my prayers just hit the ceiling, and sometimes I wonder if the Lord is even aware of what is going. Has it ever happened to anybody? It's probably happened to me a few times in my life, And there's a reason why that happens, and there's an antidote for it, I'm glad to tell you, and hopefully that's what we're going to be sharing today. But the very idea that there would be times that God would be far from us, really, according to the Word of God, is an absolutely ridiculous idea, borders almost, I think, on blasphemous, because it just impugns something to God that is just not in His nature. Let me tell you something. If God is far away or seems far away, it's not His fault. The fault definitely lies somewhere else. Now, the fear always is that the enemy will say to the individual, well, since you don't feel the presence of God near with you right now, then that probably means that you've done something so bad that God has turned His back on you. Or maybe you've just been faking being a Christian all these years. And the enemy, you know, Bennett was talking to the kids about togetherness and encouragement. How many know the devil isn't an encourager? He'll only encourage you if you're doing the wrong thing. But he's not going to encourage you in the things of God. But we have to know and we have to understand and that it's not feeling. If we go by our feelings, how many know that our feelings are up and down? Our feelings are up and down. Sometimes things are really, really good and we feel like they're really, really bad, or vice versa. Our feelings are all over the place. And if we go by our feelings are not the way to measure whether God loves us or whether He's near. We're not always going to feel like He's near. And those are the times we've got to double down, buckle down, and claim the Word of God in the lines of what we're going to share here this morning. But if you had a faith fact, how many have seen the little thing? Faith, fact, and feeling. And you've got to have the fact, then you've got to have the faith. And if the fact was a book, and then faith was another book on top of it, and feeling was a football, and it was on top, then if the football moves, it doesn't affect the two things that are under it. But if you put the football first, and then you put the two books on it, then when the feeling moves, everything else begins to move with it. So we've got to get our facts straight. We've got to get our facts in our head. We've got to know them. We've got to claim them. We've got to believe them and not be governed by our feelings, because our feelings don't determine how near or how far God is. That's just our own little faulty perception. I mean, you can actually get up on the wrong side of bed in the morning. How many has that ever happened to? You can have a chemical imbalance. You could be off on your dosage. I mean, who knows? Feelings come and feelings go. And so feelings are fine. The Lord gave us emotions. And when we're happy, we should be joyful. And, you know, and weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. But I'm just saying, our salvation and how, those things can't be dependent on our feeling, because they are based on an absolute rock-solid fact, and that is what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary for us and how He then rose again. Can I hear an amen? Amen. That is what it is based on. So if the facts are right and if our faith is exercised, even when the feeling isn't there, the feeling will come soon enough. But we've just got to go on. I was thinking this morning of the similarity. Anybody here ever had a little bit of pilot's training? Anybody? Oh yeah, right over here. But when these guys go to these little flying schools and they give them that little one-engine plane, I flew to one in Elizabeth City with a man one time that I knew, and I felt like I was riding in an oversized kite. And every time there was a little bit of a strong wind or something, I mean, you could feel it. I mean, it actually moved that thing off course a little bit. It was, I was wondering, it's almost a miracle, you know, we made it to where we were going. But I wasn't scared or anything, but those little things. But these guys fly by sight, see? So the weather's got to be good. These guys fly by sight. How many know that the guys that fly the big airliners don't fly by sight, they fly by instrumentation? If you're going to fly in the fog, if you're going to fly in the clouds, if you're going to fly where you can't see, then you fly by your instruments, because your instruments will not lie. Your instruments are trustworthy, and you will get where you are going if you can't, even if you can't see 10 feet in front of you. And so I'm just thinking, as believers, we need to learn to fly by instrumentation. We need to learn to fly by the Word of God, by the promises of God, and then we won't be thrown for a loop every time some little thing comes in, and you know, and we think somehow our relationship with the Lord has been affected in some way. But just how close is he? Number one, now we're on our notes. These are just some of the ways. He took on human flesh and became one of us. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. It's called the Incarnation. He left heaven. We've been studying the book of John. How many times in that? My Father sent me. I came. I didn't come of my own accord. I came because he sent me. I came. I am not of this world. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I came. He left the glories of heaven. In that prayer in John 17, he says, Father, restore to me the glory that I had when I was with you before the foundation of the world. He left all of that, and he came right down here, and he became one of us. How close is that? For the infinite God who made it all, who lives outside of space, who lives outside of time, who lives outside of all of that, he came into time and he came into our situation and he literally took on human flesh and lived among us. How close is that? He is not a God who is far away. He is a God who always takes the initiative. We don't seek him, he seeks us. And when we finally do seek him, it's because his Holy Spirit got a hold of us and said, you need to seek the Lord. But he did it. Number two, he lived and moved among us on a daily basis. He walked the dirt roads. He attended synagogue on Saturdays. He rode in little boats on the Sea of Galilee. He moved among the crowds. He actually lived and moved among us after he came. Number three, he personally ministered. This is in Jesus. He personally ministered to the needy, the infirm, and the rejected. He ministered to the common man. While the Jewish hierarchy was up there, the chief priests, scribes, Pharisees, and all those people were up there in their little ivory tower up there in Jerusalem, looking down on the masses, putting out edicts every day and not lifting one little finger to help them with it. Jesus was right out there with the common man. He would entertain these people when they came to him, and if they invited him, he would go to one of their houses. But he spent most of his time with the common people, and it was just the common people that he associated with. He himself was raised as if in a poor family. He himself worked just as a blue-collar worker, as a carpenter. And I doubt if he was a member of any union. But he was just a common man, and he ministered to common people every day. How near is that? Brush shoulders with them every single day. Number four, if that wasn't enough, he took our sins on himself on the cross. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you realize he took my personal sin, even though I hadn't been born yet, he took my personal sin on himself when he died on the cross that day? How personal is that, and how close is that? He did it for me personally. Number five, he personally gave his life on the cross. so we could be reconciled to the Father? How many of you have a friend that loves you enough that they would die for you? I don't know if we have any. If we do, that would be outstanding. But Jesus died for us when we were still sinners, when we were still unlovely and unlovable. He died for us on the cross, personally shed his blood. Given your life, that's about the most personal thing you can do for somebody, don't you think? It doesn't get much more personal than that. Jesus said, "What will a man give in exchange for his psuche, his physical life?" Number six, he took his place at the Father's right hand to intercede on our behalf daily. He's still there. He's still at the Father's right hand. And he's taking our requests every day and passing them on. Every time I pray, I'm aware of that. I'm aware that it isn't because of my righteousness or my goodness or anything else that I am being heard and accepted through and by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he is my mediator, and that he is interceding for me. That is why it gets through. And that is a personal thing, and he does it for us every day. How close is that? Number seven, before he left, when he was here on earth, before he left, he promised to be with us every day. He promised to be with us every day. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But the Greek is actually all the days, which is the equivalent to every day. I am with you every day, even to the end of the, not every day, every single day. How personal is that? Number eight, he said he would be present every time his people gathered in his name. Every time. Again, I tell you, if two on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I. The NIV says with them, but it should be, as the King James says, in the midst of them. The Greek has a word for with, and that's not the word here. It's meso, which means there are three translations for it: middle, among, and between. So it's more than just with. Somebody can be with you, but they're not. He says, there am I in the, there am I. And I think that could be Amy. It could be translated I am. As when he said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus used that I am a lot. There I am in the midst of them. Where two or three gather in my name, to seek me. For my purposes, I am right there in the middle of them. So he's here. Every time we gather in his name, he's here. Number nine, after his ascension, he sent the Holy Spirit not only to be with us as our daily comforter and guide, but actually to take up residence in us. How near is that? And to live daily led and guided by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the Father. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the truth of God's Word. The Holy Spirit is there to teach us, to instruct us, to comfort us, to uphold us, to encourage us, to do all of those things. It's a daily ministry straight from heaven, straight from our Lord Jesus Christ. And it belongs to every believer. How close and how personal is that? What can we take away from this by way of application? Two things, I think, more, but these two. Our Creator has done all that could be done to bring us close to Himself. The next move is ours. What more could He do? He has already done every single thing He could do and that needed to be done in order that we could be fully reconciled to Him and that we could live in daily fellowship with Him. So if there is any distance between Him and us right now, it's not on His side. He is constantly calling us into a closer relationship with Him. There are even songs in the secular world, come a little closer, come a little closer. And that's what the Lord is saying to us all the time. Submit yourselves then to God, it says in James 4, 7 and 8. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. He is always there. He is always ready. What about the prodigal son? He took his inheritance early. He went and he squandered it on all kinds of things and wound up feeding a bunch of pigs, which were detestable in the Jewish society. And when he finally came to, he said, you know, I'd be better off as a servant back home. So I'll just go home and I'll say, Father, I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. But if you would just let me be like one of your servants, that would be more than enough. And when he was yet some distance from the house and the father saw him, what did he do? Who can tell me from the audience? We know this story. He ran to him. And he threw his arms around him. And he said, bring the robe and bring the ring, which are identity things, that you're of the family and that you're of the household. And let's have a party because my son was dead and now he's alive. That is our Father. So how could any of us, no matter what we may be going through, see, we equate when things aren't going the way we want them to go, we equate that with being forsaken by the Lord. That is one part of our faulty thinking that we have got to get straight. The sun rises on the just and the unjust, and rain comes into the life of the just and the unjust. But the Lord is with us every step of the way. We should never doubt that. And it is not. The things that are coming into our lives, put them to prayer. Commit them to the Lord. Ask the Lord to guide you through it. We talked last week about being in the fire, delivered in the fire. He was in the fire with them, wasn't he? Nebuchadnezzar said, we put in three, but I see four. They were in the fire, but there was another man with them. And because there was another man with them, they were not hurt by the flames. So the trial we're going through doesn't mean that the Lord has forgotten us or forsaken us. It just means that down here in this world, we're going to have some of that stuff. And we submit to Him in it and continue to seek Him in it and claim His word and claim His promises, then that trial will not harm us. And so in the midst of these things, it's important that we claim these things. So all of a sudden, maybe I don't feel like that sensed presence of the Lord as much in my life. It's time to fly by instruments. I have a God who loved me so much, He sent His Son for me. I have a God who loved me so much, His Son died on the cross for me. I have a God that loves me so much that He has His own Son at His right hand interceding for me every day. When the feelings aren't there, what do? You claim the Word of God. That's what you do, because God's Word, and my feelings are up and down, but God's Word never fails. Amen? Shall we pray? Father, we come to You today and we thank You that we don't have to be afraid every time there's a little wrinkle. Every time there's some little thing that maybe somehow we've offended You and You've withdrawn. If we've sinned, You invite us back to repentance. You invite us back to get yet again the cleansing and to be restored to fellowship. But You are always, You are not looking to be far away. You are not looking to be hard to be reached. You are looking for Lord, for every opportunity, and that we would seek you. And so we see this verse in your word that says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. And Lord, you are as near to us as you could ever be, since you have sent your Son. He has completed redemption's work, and he has made everything available to us simply by faith and for the asking. So today, as believers, I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen our faith and that our emotions wouldn't get in the way of having a strong daily walk with you, and that we would not be concerned if for a few days, or even if it turned into weeks or months, we didn't feel your presence in some particular way. But as long as we're standing on your word, as long as we're coming to you daily, Lord, you're going to be there, and you're going to be hearing our prayers, and you're going to be teaching us, and you're going to be working in us, and you're going to be doing your purposes in our lives. So, Lord, I pray as we come to this part of the year that if we've laid some good foundations here these first 3 months of the year, that we'll go ahead and continue with that through the remaining 9 months of this year. If we've neglected some of it, that we'll shore up and come back. It's up to us to move back close to you. And so, Lord, that's our desire today. Give us that desire and fulfill, Lord, your will in us. We thank you, we love you, and we do want to walk with you every day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.